Let's now look at some key points concerned with this process of oxidative phosphorylation. Starting with the definition, oxidative phosphorylation can be described as the process for the transfer of hydrogen atoms or hydrogen equivalent from reduced cofactors to oxygen, releasing the major part of energy from organic molecules. Its location is in the mitochondria, and most of the components of this process are embedded in the inner mitochondrial membrane. It occurs in most tissues of the body, in particular tissues that have large numbers of mitochondria, and the only cell types that would not have this process are those like red blood cells, which have lost their mitochondria during maturation, and tissues like white fast-contracting muscle fibers, which have relatively few mitochondria. Functions of the pathway are in energy trapping or energy conservation, and it's a process that involves the direct phosphorylation of ADP with an inorganic phosphate molecule to produce ATP. The process takes place in the mitochondria, and it's useful to remind ourselves of the structures and membrane systems present in these organelles. As shown in the diagram here, there are two completely separate membrane systems, both of them, of course, phospholipid in nature. The outer mitochondrial membrane is relatively smooth and thus acts as the boundary to the shape of these organelles. The separate inner membrane is made up of phospholipid but with a very large number of protein components embedded in the membrane. This membrane is also elaborately folded to give a larger surface area so that there's the maximum efficiency of the processes that take place here. Between the two membranes is found the intermembrane space, and in ionic composition it's relatively similar to that of the cytoplasm because the outer mitochondrial membrane is permeable to molecules that are smaller than 5,000 Daltons in size. Right in the centre of the mitochondria is found the compartment known as the matrix compartment, and this is where the major pathways of the TCA cycle and fat oxidation take place. This is an enlargement of some of the structures in the cell. Shown at the top is the outer cell membrane separating the extracellular fluid from the cytoplasm, and there's a reminder here that the metabolism of glucose as far as pyruvate takes place in the cytoplasm, as well as the activation of fatty acids to their CoA derivative. Then we have a representation of the outer mitochondrial and inner mitochondrial membranes, and then the compartment known as the matrix is shown at the bottom of the diagram. This is a useful summary diagram. It reminds us of the location of various metabolic pathways, but it also shows that the process we're going to consider, oxidative phosphorylation, takes place in the inner mitochondrial membrane because of the presence of various respiratory and electron transport complexes that are embedded in the membrane. If we look in a little bit more detail about the structure of the inner mitochondrial membrane, we can see the typical phospholipid bilayer, and then represented here by the grey structures in the diagram, we have various components, proteins and organic cofactors that are embedded in the membrane, and these are variously known as the electron transport chain complexes or as the cytochrome chain. Now, in very simple terms, the process that's going to take place during oxidative phosphorylation is the oxidation of NADH back to NAD, as shown in the top line of this diagram, in which the two hydrogen atoms are transferred from the cofactor to oxygen gas to give water as the end product. Now, this is shown in brackets because there's very little chemical reactivity between the reduced cofactor NADH and oxygen gas. And shown in the bottom part of the diagram are the events that occur in the cell. The NADH and its accompanying proton, first of all, donate the two hydrogen atoms to another redox carrier that's present within the membrane, and that carrier then becomes reduced. Then, as shown by the second arrow, that carrier then passes on the two hydrogens to another carrier embedded in the membrane, and the process occurs further with the hydrogens being split into protons and electrons, and the later carriers in the pathway accept single electrons to become reduced and then become reoxidized until finally the electrons and the protons are combined with oxygen gas to give water as the end product. So the process occurs in a stepwise fashion, and this is a process then that can be more subtly controlled because it occurs in small individual stages, but also the packets of energy that are released in these processes are more easily able to conserve the energy in terms of the synthesis of ATP rather than large energy releases being lost as heat. The components of the electron transport chain can be divided into two different classes of redox carriers. The first examples are ones where the molecules can accept pairs of hydrogen atoms from the reduced cofactors, and the examples of these are the flavin cofactors and a substance known as coenzyme Q, abbreviated as CoQ, also sometimes known as ubiquinone or sometimes as Q10. The other class of components within the electron transport chain are known as electron acceptors because these accept not hydrogen atoms but single electrons to become reduced. And examples of these are the iron sulfur proteins, which contain an iron, an Fe2+, chemically joined to a sulfur in the protein. And the other class are the coloured proteins, coloured either pink or orange, and these are generally referred to as the cytochrome proteins. Flavin cofactors can act as hydrogen acceptors because, as we've shown in the early part of this presentation, the functional part of the molecule, the three-ring structure, as shown on the top left here, has two nitrogen atoms, one at the top of the centre ring, one at the bottom of the third ring on the right. These two nitrogen atoms can accept hydrogen atoms. Then there is relocation of the electrons within the ring to give the reduced form of the cofactor as shown at the bottom right, which is then referred to as FADH2 or the reduced form of the cofactor. The structure of the molecule known as coenzyme Q also makes it suitable to act as a hydrogen acceptor. The oxidized form of the structure is shown in simplified form on the left. There is a six-membered ring with two oxygen atoms, both joined by double bonds to the carbons in the ring, and this is known as the quinone-type structure. The molecule can accept two hydrogen atoms, as shown by the horizontal arrow, and when it becomes reduced in this way, the two hydrogens add on to the oxygens in the structure to give now a hydroxyl group at the top and bottom of the molecule and relocation of the electrons in the ring. Iron sulfur proteins come in many different sizes and different numbers of iron atoms. Two examples are shown here. The polypeptide part of the structure is represented in green, and within the polypeptide chain will be found the residues of cysteine, the amino acid cysteine, which has its sulfur atom directly bonded to iron atoms. And the example shown on the left has two iron atoms combined with the sulfurs of four cysteine residues. The example shown on the right has four iron atoms and consequently a larger number of sulfur atoms in the structure. As shown at the bottom of the diagram here, the iron that's present in these complexes is capable of accepting and then giving up single electrons so that the iron is easily converted from its Fe2+ state to its oxidized Fe3+ state. There are many different proteins known as cytochromes present within this general class, and each of these would have different polypeptide chains and be coded for by different genes. But the common feature of these coloured proteins is the presence of this protoporphyrin organic structure, which has an iron atom at the centre, which is coordinately linked to the nitrogen atoms of the protoporphyrin structure. The iron atom is capable of readily accepting and giving up electrons and being converted from the Fe2 plus form to the Fe3 plus form. Because the colour and the absorption spectrum properties change as the iron becomes oxidised and reduced, they were some of the earliest components of the mitochondrial structures to be examined. Now, the feature that's common to all the components that we've discussed so far is their ability to accept hydrogens or electrons and become alternately oxidised and reduced. The property of these molecules that can be studied in the laboratory after they've all been purified and separated from the other components of the cell is their ability to accept or donate electrons relative to other molecules, and in particular relative to the standard of the hydrogen electrode. So each of these components, each of these cofactors, can be studied and assigned a property, a value, known as its oxidoreduction potential, or redox potential for short. This redox potential value is measured at pH 7 and relatively mild temperatures and is abbreviated as E0 superscript dash. So this redox potential is a useful number, a property of the molecules, which describes the chemical ability of the carrier to donate its electrons to another electron acceptor molecule. All these components with different chemical properties have one feature in common, which is their redox value. And in general, we can say that when different components are mixed together or in contact with each other, then electrons will flow from a redox carrier that has a more negative E0 value to a carrier with a more positive E0 value. A helpful technique for looking at the way these molecules behave when in contact with each other is to plot all the various components that have been identified as being present in mitochondria, to plot them on a diagram in terms of their E0 values. We can see then that the reduced cofactor NADH has the most negative E0 value of all, at a value of -0.32 volts, whereas oxygen has the highest redox value of +0.82 volts. In general then, we would predict that hydrogens and electrons would be passed from the reduced cofactor NADH to the flavin cofactor FAD, and that in turn will pass its hydrogens to coenzyme Q, which will then pass its electrons to cytochromes, ones which have been identified and given key names like cytochrome B, cytochrome C, and cytochrome A. We can then predict that these components of the cytochrome chain will behave in such a way that there will be a steady flow of electrons from NADH through the flavins, through coenzyme Q, through the cytochromes, and finally there will be a tendency for the cytochromes to pass their electrons to oxygen, which has the highest redox value. This arrangement of the different components of the cytochrome chain in order of their redox value matches exactly the order of the components of the chain that's been found out from a range of other techniques, such as the disintegration of mitochondria with different detergents, studying the properties of the molecules to respond to inhibitors. And this can be then represented here in this diagram, in which the two horizontal lines represent the physical entity of the inner mitochondrial membrane, and the physical arrangement of the components can be in such a way that we can put the reduced cofactors NADH passing the hydrogens to the flavin components of the cytochrome chain. Then the flavins will be in contact with coenzyme Q, and that in turn will be in contact with cytochrome B, cytochrome C, and cytochrome A3, which then passes the electrons to oxygen as the final acceptor. So the chemical predictions about the behaviour of these components matches up to the evidence we have from the biological evidence, which is the behaviour of the system towards various inhibitors or the effect of isolating components from the membrane. Further studies on the components of the cytochrome chain have revealed in particular that there are several different forms of the iron sulfur proteins, and probably several more cytochrome proteins than we were first aware of. This diagram attempts to represent the current state of information. The first of the components of the chain, shown on the extreme left, is a flavoprotein, flavin mononucleotide, which is tightly bound to an iron sulfur protein. This passes then the hydrogens to coenzyme Q, or ubiquinone, then to cytochrome B, another iron sulfur protein, cytochrome C1, then to cytochrome C, cytochrome A, and finally cytochrome A3 is the component that passes the electrons to oxygen. Studies have shown that some of the proteins are very tightly bound to each other, whereas other components are less tightly bound and indeed are free to move laterally in the phospholipid bilayer. Of all these components, coenzyme Q or ubiquinone and cytochrome C have been found to be mobile, and the other components are tightly bound to components close to them in the membrane. An attempt to represent this is shown by the brackets here, so that the flavor protein with flavin mononucleotide as its cofactor is tightly bound to an iron sulfur protein, and these two tightly associated proteins are referred to as respiratory complex 1. Moving along, cytochrome B and cytochrome C1 are tightly bound to each other and to a different iron sulfur protein, and these tightly bound components are known as respiratory complex 3. Then finally, moving along the diagram to the right, cytochrome A and cytochrome A3 are found to be very tightly bound to each other and are referred to as respiratory complex 4.